Welcome to each one of you. Certainly we are rejoicing in God's goodness, rejoicing in how the Lord has met us today, and we are here, I believe, in continuing worship. And let us continue that with singing.
For 404. 404.
Choose my path. Thank you.
I invite you to turn to Psalm 85 for a focus scripture this evening. The psalm may have been written after the Israelites returned from the captivity in Babylon. And particularly notable to me in the center part of this psalm is David's plea that the Lord would revive him and would show his mercy and grant his salvation. David desires to hear God speak. And he desires that time when mercy and truth connect. Indeed, when we consider God's mercy, the truth about ourselves, and the connection when those meet, when righteousness and peace meet. So we read Psalm 85, to the chief musician, a psalm for the sons of Korah. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. Tonight, I resonate with David's plea. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? That the Lord would show us his mercy and grant us his salvation. But notice how earnestly, in verse 8, David expresses his desire to hear what God says. He says, I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people. And I believe the Lord speaks peace to his people who are listening. He will speak peace to his saints. It says, but let them not turn again to folly, so we hear what God says, and that we do not quickly turn aside from what we have heard, that we don't quickly settle for the 10 shekels and a shirt, that we do not turn back to seeking our satisfaction, the things that we enjoy that misplace what God has for us. But instead, mercy and truth meet together, righteousness and peace kiss each other. So tonight I believe that the Lord wants to give that which is good. He wants the land to yield her increase. Even as we heard in one of the early evenings, how that what happens beneath the soil is every bit as important to the crop as what is happening above the soil. And I just appreciate the way that we've been encouraged to look deep look deep within our lives, discover what are the root causes for the difficulties that we may be facing. Just, it's such a blessing to be reminded in such clear ways about that. Habakkuk also had a prayer to God. Chapter 2, verse 1, he said, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And so tonight, I believe that we want to be in a spirit of readiness, that we will watch to see what he will say to us, and think about how we might answer if we are reproved. Shall we bow our heads for prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your abundant provision in Christ Jesus. We thank you that though Jesus could have called 10,000 angels to set him free, he didn't. And instead, he suffered in that perfect sacrifice for us and has given to us the gift of salvation. Thank you, gracious Lord, for that. We're not possibly worthy of that, but we just want to humbly express our gratitude to you for what you've done. So we thank you, and we just ask that your grace would be upon us this evening, that we would hear clearly what you would say to us, that you would help us to respond and to think about how and what you would have us do as we seek your will and your way among us. In Jesus' name, amen. As far as announcements go, we will be planning for the Thursday evening service in lieu of the Wednesday evening service. So there will be no Wednesday evening service here this week. Are there announcements from any of you? Yes, Brother Shane. Is there a mic?
Announced this morning. But for the group of people formerly known as the Young Marrieds, we are hoping to spend next Sunday evening together at Joe's Cabin at 6 o'clock and bring stuff to go with hot sandwiches.
Okay. Yes, Virginia?
Yeah. Would you pray, ask everyone to pray for the needs of my grandchildren?
Pray for the needs of your grandchildren? Okay, we will try to do that shortly in the prayer before the message. Have a treat again for the children this evening. So Paul says he has a story for the children. So the children may come forward, and Brother Paul have a story for us.
Well, good evening, boys and girls. The story this evening is about three brothers. These three brothers lived with their mama and daddy in an old house. And the old house did not have closets to put clothes in. So the day came, and Mama really would have liked to have a closet to put the clothes in. So the day came, one winter day. Daddy said, I'll build you a closet. He said, we will build you a closet. And so he had ordered some lumber and some glue and nails. And that day, Daddy built the closet in the bedroom, and the three brothers helped. We worked very hard helping him. And then finally, it was chore time, and time for Daddy and Mama to go do the chores. And the closet was not quite finished, so Daddy said, "I'll just leave the tools right here, but don't touch them." And they went to do the chores. And that worked for a while. And then there was one of these tools that was a very interesting tool. You see, this was in the days when Daddy was building this closet, there were no electric drills. And there were no cordless drills. And so if you wanted to drill holes, there was a hand-operated drill, and that the tool that Daddy had was one that it was very interesting. It was kind of had a handle on top, kind of like a U, and then the drill down here to bore the hole was at the bottom. So you would put your hand on the top, and all day long, the three brothers watched Daddy as he drilled holes. He would grab that thing, and then he would crank it around like this, and he would drill holes and drill another hole and drill another hole, and it looked very easy. It looked very fun. And so the boys looked at that tool, and then one of them picked up the tool, and they tried to see how it would feel. And then there was in the living room of the house, there was a step, right at the bottom step that went upstairs. Right at the bottom, there was a step that came out into the room. It was wood, and it was about this thick. And it was just a perfect place to try out a drill. And one of the boys took that drill and took hold of it just like Daddy had. And he, next thing he knew, how it worked, because there was a hole right in the step. And it had worked so well that he just did it again. And then he did it again. And then his brother said, "You are in trouble." And so they laid it back down again where it had been. And when the chores were over and Mom and Dad came back to the house, everything was just the way it had been, except there were three holes in the top of the step. So Daddy, being a wise man, looked at his boys and he said, "Who drilled the hole? The holes?" "Wasn't me," said the oldest brother. "Wasn't me," said the middle brother. "Wasn't me," said the youngest brother. Well, he scratched his head. "Now what?" So he said, remember, he was a wise man. He said, "Well, then all I know to do is that all three will be paddled." "Now which one was it?" "Wasn't me," said the oldest brother. "Wasn't me," said the middle brother. "Wasn't me," said the youngest brother. Now the paddle was a piece of wood, and it was about this long. And Daddy went to get the paddle. The three boys looked at each other because they knew who it was that had done it. And Daddy came back with the paddle, and he said, "Well, the oldest brother first." And so the oldest brother was over Daddy's knee, and the paddle went up, and just before it came down, the middle brother said, "It was me." And so the middle brother got the paddling. And I was the middle brother. Now, there are several lessons about this little story. The one of them is that I could not stand to see my brother be paddled when it was really me that had done the boring of holes. and they had been naughty. And my brother would actually have taken the paddling. If I had not confessed, he would have taken the paddling for me. Jesus took the paddling for us, so to speak. When he died on the cross, he took the punishment that should have come to us. That's the one lesson. The other lesson is this, that Daddy did not change the stair tread, the step that had the holes in it, until long, long after. I was already grown up and had left home before they changed that step. And so every evening when I went upstairs to go to bed, I put my foot up on that step, and right next to my foot, there were three holes. A constant reminder of what happens when you're naughty, that there are consequences and they do not go away. And to this day yet, when my brothers and I are together, at least once a year, I have to hear about those three holes. You may go back to your parents.